Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Pro Football Chase podcast. It's Isaac Sines with you alongside my co-host, NFL safety, J.J. Wilcox. And I got to tell you what, J.J., it's great to be back on the podcast. Of course, I was off in week number 17. We were away for the holidays, but now we're back. And I know there was a lot that happened, especially on Monday Night Football. We're going to get into that just in a few moments. But J.J., I want to check in on you first, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. All is well, man. Like you say, the holidays was a blessing. I got a chance to spend some good quality time with my kids and family. Brought the New Year's in the same way. And like you say, Monday night kind of threw me for a loop and threw me for a circle. Just what we've seen, I know we'll get more in depth, but man, I had a great holidays and a great New Year's, man. It's good to be back on set. How about your way?
No, I'm doing good, man. I was able to spend some time with family and rejuvenate a little bit, and did pick up an illness along the way, but, you know, working through that and just glad to be back here on the podcast. Certainly did miss our weekly podcast, and I want to get into the Damar Hamlin situation. You know that it was a very scary situation when he went down on Monday night, and then he got up quickly, then collapsed, and it really shook and rattled the NFL community and everybody who watches football, and not just football fans, but everybody was very concerned about Damar Hamlin and what was going on and the urgent care that was being provided, CPR and all the players, the raw emotions, and it was a tough sight to take in. The game was suspended 7-3. The Bengals were leading the Bills. They called off the game. He's taken to the hospital there in Cincinnati, and just a lot of prayers, a lot of sadness, a lot of confusion for many of his teammates. But I'm very excited to announce, JJ, this morning that we received a very positive update from the Buffalo Bills, and I'm going to read the statement. It says, per the physicians caring for Damar Hamlin at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, Damar has shown remarkable improvement over the past 24 hours. While still critically ill, he has demonstrated that he appears to be neurologically intact. His lungs continue to heal, and he is making steady progress. We are grateful for the love and support we have received. And that was, end quote, from the Buffalo Bills this morning. That was put out just about an hour ago. And word is, JJ, he is awake. He is responsive. He is holding the hands of his family that are bedside right by him. So great news.
Yeah, that is a very remarkable news, man. I'm so grateful to hear that. I know my family we have extended our hands, still have our hands extended to his and his, to his family as well, to his family, to his friends, to him, and everything surrounding him with the Buffalo Bills and all the NFL, and like I say, fans of football as well. He's definitely been in my thoughts and prayers because I've been on that side of stepping in between the white lines and playing at for over 8 years in the league and playing the way I played. You know, it's a blessing to kind of come out of it. And I think, man, we get overlooked in a certain sense, the things that we have to go through to put our bodies through on a yearly basis to go out here and perform for 4 hours, you know, to give the fans and play the game that we love. So it's definitely hit home with me and my family as well. And like I said, I'm just so blessed because I want to take this time. I took this time this week. I pushed everything back just to focus on him and make sure I was there to give him my courtesy, my love, my thoughts, my prayers and everything. So that is great news to hear that. I'm so blessed and astounded to hear that.
What a blessing it is. And all praise to God and the power of prayer, right? It just goes into that. And we had everybody, the whole nation, the whole world, praying for DeMar Hamlin. And, you know, he went into cardiac arrest, JJ, after being hit, and his heartbeat was restored by the medical personnel. That's what the Bills had said in an earlier statement. And so this was a very, very serious matter. But the fact that it has taken a turn for the positive and he is now awake and just glory to God, there's nothing else to say but just praise him. And of course, huge shout out to all those medical officials there in Cincinnati yes. that tended to him quickly and have been giving him and his family the utmost respect, care, and updates. And this also goes to all the medical officials, JJ, not just the ones in Cincinnati, but this goes without saying, but so many of these people, these heroes, they go to work every single day. Their work doesn't get praised. They don't get a lot of the limelight. But I got to say, man, without them being out in our communities, in hospitals, in EMTs, where would we be without those type of people? It certainly is a ministry, and I'm so grateful for them.
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, all heroes don't wear capes. You know, they may wear different things, suit ties and other clothes as well. But yes, without those people, because I've been on the injury side as well, and they don't get enough praise for what they do. They're in there clocking in 8 in the morning. Sometimes they'll leave at 12 at midnight at night, sometimes depending on how crowded things is. So thank you as well to medical staff and emergency staff and all the other heroes out there as well that don't get enough recognition as they should. I'm grateful for you. We're grateful for you. And thank you as well.
Just so ecstatic, you know, to have that update. And that's part of the reason why I bumped the podcast from Tuesday, just so we could hear some more positive news. And that's exactly what we got this morning. So, JJ, you know, I know you played the game. I know it struck you a certain way. But, man, I'm glad you're on the podcast today. You know, I'm glad that you're able to join and discuss some of these matchups as we move for Week 18, man. But also, my thoughts and prayers were with you as well, because I know that it definitely did impact you in a certain way.
Yes, yes. I thank you, Isaac. I thank you. I think we've been in contact a little bit before that happened in the holidays and you know, even this week as well. And giving me the time and the space just to kind of get my head right and get out of it, because it did hit home for me, just because I actually, you know, like I say, for all the reasons I stated before. But thank you, man. And I'm glad to be back on here as well. Like I say, therapy comes in different ways, and I'm just glad to be able to get it out there today. So thank you.
Well, I'm glad I could be a resource, man. And you know what? Let's get into some
yes,
Week 18 football. It's that time, man. And so really quick, before we get into these matchups, that we're going to have some football on Saturday, but taking a quick glimpse at the playoff picture, there are some teams that are in the running for these last spots in the playoffs. And so you look at the AFC, JJ, right now, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, they clinched their division, the Bills as well. Cincinnati, now, of course, the NFL hasn't made up their mind about what's going to happen with that Bills-Bengals game. It does have implications on seeding. I don't know if they're going to go with win percentages. They have yet to make an announcement, but we know for sure on Saturday night, the AFC South title is on the line. The Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans, the winner of that game, will win the AFC South and will host a playoff game. And then right now, the Patriots, Dolphins, Steelers, those are the three teams that are looking to clinch that final seed in the AFC. Here's some of the scenarios. JJ, Patriots, they clinch a playoff berth with a win over the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, or a Miami loss to the New York Jets, plus a Pittsburgh loss to the Cleveland Browns, and a Jacksonville win over Tennessee. Now, the Dolphins, they clinch a playoff berth with a win over the Jets, plus a Patriots loss to the Bills, and then the Steelers, who are clinging on here, with a win over the Browns, a Patriots loss to the Bills, and a Dolphins loss to the New York Jets. So those are the three teams in the AFC that are looking to get in with some help.
And those are some good teams that have been playing some great ball. Miami have kind of took in a different swing, downshifted a little bit for the last few weeks. Tua health is a big concern for Miami, because we see the difference when he is on the field and when he's off. And for Buffalo and the Steelers, like I told you before, man, I know I'd be saying a lot of different things, but I did say Pittsburgh was going to be a dark horse team to eventually sneak in there and to get in the playoffs as well. So it just go to show you, man, that this league, you know, you can't take anything for lightly. It doesn't matter how you start. It's all about how you finish, and that's anything in life. So I'm excited to see how these next few games play out on this last week, to see things kind of go into it. If you'd have told me Tennessee Titans would have been playing Jacksonville I would have told you, get out of here. But like I say, the AFC wasn't as strong. I said that back in the beginning of the year. The AFC South wasn't as strong as it usually be. So I'm excited to see Jacksonville. Jacksonville had a lot of momentum. They'll be some very good teams. Tennessee has kind of, like I say, took the back seat as well, kind of like Miami have. They started out hot, and I told you they got to be able to push the ball down the field and do some different things on the offensive side of the ball. So it'll be interesting to see how this weekend play out with these teams on the playoff call.
I was also on the Pittsburgh Steelers train. I picked them in several weeks because I just believed in them, and somehow, some way, they've given themselves a shot to get into the playoffs. Of course, they would need some things to fall in their favor outside of a win. But now, really quick, at the NFC, JJ, there are three teams in particular that are fighting for that seventh seed in the NFC. Of course, number one, the Eagles, two, Niners, three, Vikings, four, Buccaneers. They clinched the NFC South. And right now, locked in at five is Dallas. And then at six is the New York Giants. Now, the Packers, who are on a four-game win streak, all they need to do, JJ, is win over the Lions, and they are into the postseason. As crazy as a season it has been in Lambeau, they are one win away from getting into the postseason. Again, that goes back to your point, just how crazy, how many twists, how many turns these teams go through in a season, but the Packers getting hot at the right time. Now, the Lions, they can clinch a playoff berth with a win over the Green Bay Packers and a Seattle loss to the Los Angeles Rams. And then the Seahawks, they can clinch a berth with a win over the Rams, and they need the Packers to lose to the Detroit Lions. Now, there is a little bit of, not everybody is happy with the way the NFL scheduled Week 18, JJ, because Green Bay and Detroit, they're playing on Sunday Night Football, and the Seahawks are playing at 3:30. And so they're saying if the Seahawks take care of business over the Los Angeles Rams, then that essentially knocks out the Lions from playoff contention before they even kick off against the Packers. And so the Seahawks are saying that's kind of not fair, because if we take care of our business, the Lions, essentially, they're no longer playing for a playoff spot. And so they wonder, well, what happens if Detroit's not going to make that full-out effort to beat Green Bay? Because the Seattle Seahawks need Green Bay to lose, right? And so there's a little bit of controversy with the scheduling, but those are the scenarios. It's either going to be Green Bay, Detroit, or Seattle to get that last spot in the NFC. And so right now, though, I have to say, it certainly seems like Green Bay has the upper hand.
Yeah, I agree. Aaron Rodgers did great things over this last few weeks. They've kind of taken the ball out of his hand and put it into the two running backs that he has, that defense. I don't think that defense is getting enough praise for how they've stepped up week after week after week and shut teams out. They got one of the best third down and second half team defenses in the league. And that is tremendous. That is hats off to the front office. That's hats off to the staff of coming out with a game plan at the second half to stop and shut down offenses. And it's a hat to Aaron Rodgers and that offense as well, because all the odds was against them. We was throwing away Aaron Rodgers. I know I surely was in the fact that, you know, he didn't have the weapons that he's usually have at his arsenal, but he's still playing great football. So that Green Bay team is a scary team because, like I said, a lot of things in this month of December and in the month of January now could make things different. You know, playing in Lambeau and going here and doing different things. The team is hot, and they're going into some scenarios where they might have the upper hand going into some different playoff complications. So my hats off to Green Bay. They're a scary team. Detroit Lions have done a lot of great things as well, and Seattle has too. You know, we never thought Seattle would be a playoff team. I know for sure I didn't, with all they had going on with the quarterback carousel and the way Geno's played this year. My hats off to him as well for stepping up and playing elite football with a team that had little to no chance at all coming into the season. So I'm excited with the NFC as well.
All right, so the number one seed is still up for grabs in the NFC. The Eagles can clinch with any of the following. They beat the Giants. They are the number one seed. They're also the NFC's champions. They can also clinch the number one seed if the Cowboys lose to the Commanders and the 49ers lose to the Arizona Cardinals. The 49ers can clinch the number one seed in the first round by the NFC with the win over the Cardinals and the Eagles loss to the Giants. And the Cowboys, still in the running, as crazy as that sounds, they can clinch the number one seed with a win at the Commanders and Eagles loss to the Giants, plus a 49ers loss to the Cardinals. Now, the NFC East is still up for grabs as well. The Eagles, just as stated, very simple. They win. They beat the Giants. They are the NFC's champs. Cowboys, they can win the NFC's with a win at Washington and, of course, an Eagles loss versus the Giants. Now, I won't get into the number one seed scenarios for the AFC just because the NFL has yet to announce what they're going to do with that Bills-Bengals game. I do want to get into some of these picks, JJ. And so on Saturday, the Chiefs, the first game of the afternoon, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN, Kansas City 13-3 at the Las Vegas Raiders, who were eliminated from playoff contention after last weekend's loss 6-10. They're starting Jared Stidham, and Stidham actually looked pretty darn good against the San Francisco 49ers. But JJ, here, I like Kansas City, although it will be tough. The Raiders have played Kansas City very, very challenging these last couple of matchups, and so I fully expect a rejuvenated Raiders team with Jared Stidham at the helm to give Kansas City a run for their money. They would love to spoil their number one seed chances, but I will still pick the Kansas City Chiefs here, 31-24. The Kansas City defense, JJ, has fallen off a little bit these last several weeks. If it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes playing to the MVP caliber level he is, Kansas City would be in trouble. But because Patrick Mahomes is still healthy and Jerick McKinnon continues to be a big factor on offense, I'm going with Kansas City here. Yes, sir, 31-24.
Yeah, I agree with you. Anytime you get into the late season with these conference rivals, it can get tricky. We've seen that in multiple times with teams that we never thought might beat them, but just because the rival and the way they play them twice a year, it's a lot of film that that team and a lot of camaraderie that these teams have and know each other's weakness and weakness and strengths as well. But I like what you say for all the reasons, Mahomes, Kelsey, and Jerick McKinnon, man. Georgia Southern standout alumni. Played with him for 3 years at Georgia Southern, and he's doing a great job of coming in for Clyde and taking over the Rams and giving them actually a mismatch out of the backfield. I think that's been beneficial for Mahomes. We know how Mahomes like to get the ball down the field, but handing off to Jerick and even dumping it off to him could turn into a big play. And I think that added some extra power to that offense, to what Kansas City can do as well. And like you say, I like what the Raiders are doing. Devontae Adams is playing elite. We knew that going into it. The running game as well. Kansas City defense, like you say, haven't been as good as it was midseason and early on in the season as well. And we know the type of running game that the Raiders develop with Jacobs and everything else. So it's going to be a close one, but I think for all the reasons and the playoff complications that everything that comes into these late games, I think Kansas City is going to take care of business.
The AFC South title Saturday night, 8:15 p.m. Eastern time, ESPN. Tennessee coming in limping, JJ, on a losing streak, 7-9. They were 7-4. I think they're on a 5-game losing streak, so not where you want to be. The Jaguars, meanwhile, interplay on a win streak, 8-8, JJ. I like the Jaguars here. I've been in on Duvall, big fan of Doug Peterson, the job he's been able to do. And I know, remember earlier, JJ, the Jaguars, they were a team that like 1 week they would get hot and they would look great, and the next week they would get obliterated and embarrassed, right? But I feel like they've really been able to find that consistency. Doug Peterson has been able to really sit down with Trevor Lawrence, get him playing the right way in that right offensive formation. And then, of course, when you have playmakers on the outside like Marvin Jones and Zay Jones, and also how about Evan Ingram, who's emerged as a very big tight end, signing there in Jacksonville, Travis Etienne for over 1,000 yards. And defensively, you know, your guy Foyer Oluokun making plays and leading the NFL in tackles. And so right now, I mean, Jacksonville, they're firing in all cylinders. I like them to take care of business, clinch the AFC South on Saturday night, JJ, 27-17. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, it is worth noting that the Titans will start Josh Dobbs for a second consecutive week, so it'll be Dobbs to take on Jacksonville. But, JJ, I just don't see Tennessee with a path to victory here.
Yeah, Jacksonville, all they needed to do was believe. And I think Doug Peterson, he did a great job of coming in and helping this quarterback get to the next level. And Trevor Lawrence, we knew the talent that he had at Clemson. We knew the talent that he can bring and also the leader that he is. And I think that offense have circled around him, and they just believe, you know, in this league, anything is possible, but you have to put the belief in and put the work in, and that's what Jacksonville has done. It was a roller coaster team midway through the season. They have beat some teams. They even played in some close games with some teams as tops in the NFC with the Eagles and the sort. So there was a team that had everything on paper to do what they had to do, and they're doing it, man. They're playing, and that head coach, my hat's off to him to help him get this elite quarterback over the hump to see what the potential that he has. So I'm grateful for Peterson, and I'm grateful for Lawrence as well to get the support that he needed to get to the level he needed as well. And that defense, my hat's off to Caldwell, the defensive coordinator coming from Todd Bowles' defense. We knew they was going to be tough against the run with Foyer in that middle. That just put an exclamation point on that to emphasize that, and the secondary is playing good too. So I like Jacksonville Jaguars to go against Tennessee. I play with Miles Dodd as a good quarterback. He deserved the right to get on the center and start. And, you know, we might see something different from Dobbs, having another week underneath his belt to practice, to get comfortable with some of the receiver cores. I don't know if Derrick Henry will be back, but that would add like extra load off of him as well. So with all the reasons, I do like Jacksonville to take care of business. I think they're going to load the box up, stop the run, and make it hard for Dobbs to push the ball down the field.
Now, this game doesn't have any playoff implications, so we'll go through these matchups relatively quick. Buccaneers, they already locked into their 4 seed. They're going to take on the Falcons, 6-10. The report is that Tampa Bay is going to play their starters, JJ. So for those reasons, I'm going to go with the Buccaneers here, 24-20. You know, Tom Brady wants to get another game, get that offense going into a rhythm, because they have been very stagnant for much of the year. And so you bet Tampa wants to get going, have a good showing before the playoffs. And so I think they're able to get that done. 24-20, give me the Bucs.
Yeah, I think the Falcons, I like what Ridder has done over the last few weeks. He stepped up. He shows improvement. The running game has taken a little bit of a bite off due to injuries, but they still have a two-headed monster back there as well. I like what the Bucs is doing. I want to see the Bucs come out hot. I think they have enough to pull this game off in Atlanta, so give me Tampa Bay as well.
Patriots at Bills. Now, here's a game that means something. The Patriots win, and they're in, going to Buffalo to take on the Bills. New England 8-8, Bills 12-3, pending that makeup game with the Cincinnati Bengals. But JJ, you know, as much as I would like to see New England get into the postseason, I mean, the Bills, I think they're still going to be playing tough because they want to make sure they can ensure the highest possible seed in the AFC. They'll be at home, coming off those emotions with Damar Hamlin. You know, they're going to want to get it done for him. I think the Bills are able to really run away with this game, 29-16 over the New England Patriots. In the end, the Patriots haven't shown enough offensively with Mac Jones and Matt Patricia calling plays. It's been too up and down for New England, JJ. The Bills, you know, they're going to lock it down. I think they're going to be motivated, and they're also going to want to, again, put on a clinic for number 3, Damar Hamlin. So with all that being said, give me the Bills here.
Yeah, emotions are going to be high that game. I think Buffalo comes out with firing on all cylinders. I think they know that this game is a lot bigger than them. Like you say, they plan for number 3. For all of those reasons, I think that Buffalo just have enough firepower. And then just emotionally, it's going to be, you know, emotional game for both sides, to be honest. But I think Buffalo, like I say, have enough on the offensive side of the ball to attack the Patriots defense, which has been the bell cow for their season this season. But give me Buffalo Bills to take care of business.
Vikings 12-4 at the Bears 3-13. This one has no playoff implications. Minnesota, they already won their division. Now, of course, Minnesota, they had a shot at that first round bye after last week's loss to the Packers. They're no longer in the running for a number 1 seed in that first round bye. So they're just playing to get into a good rhythm before the playoffs. JJ, here, I like Minnesota. As Bears head coach Matt Eberflus announced yesterday that Fields has a hip strain, so he will not play. It'll be Nathan Peterman under center for Chicago. Minnesota, I think they need this win, JJ, after getting dismantled by the Green Bay Packers. So I'd like the Vikings to get the job done here, 24-21. This is a bounce-back game for them. Although Chicago, they're playing teams very tight, JJ, and that defense in Chicago has really turned some corners. But Minnesota, I expect them to come out on top.
Yeah, I think it's a game for Kirk Cousins to come out and to do some different things as well. We know what Dalvin Cook can provide out of the backfield. As well as the defense, the defense can only do so much without the help of the offense. So I'm excited to see how Kirk Cousins responds. This will be a test. This will be a pregame warm-up before the playoffs, like you said. And for those reasons, I like Minnesota to win as well. Hopefully Chicago. I do want to see Justin Fields, man, get on the better end of the stick moving forward in the next few weeks and, you know, hopefully next year as well, too. So give me Minnesota Vikings to take care of business.
The Texans 213-1 at the Colts 411-1. JJ, the Texans can clinch the number one overall pick with a loss in Indianapolis on Sunday. And I have to say, I think they have a shot to beat the Colts here. You know, the Texans have actually played a lot of teams very close. And right now, the Colts will start Sam Ehlinger in the season finale because Nick Foles is now dealing with that rib injury. But give me the Texans here, JJ. You know, Lovie Smith, you know he wants to win this game. He is a competitive guy, defensive-minded guy, and, you know, he has had this team in positions to win. And there's some rumors out there that the Texans may be moving on from Lovie Smith. And so Lovie Smith may just say, you know what? As my co-way president, I'm going to win this game, and I'm going to take away that number one overall pick from you, because if you're going to short me that way, you know, I at least want to go out as a winner. And Indianapolis, JJ, under Jeff Saturday, they have just not looked good at all. Houston has been the better team over these last several weeks. And so give me Houston here in a low-scoring game, 19-16 over the Colts.
Man, you must have read my mind, because I was definitely calling my upset this week. I don't know how much of an upset it would have been due to the fact that the Colts, man, it's just been a disappointing season for them. Overall, I know it has a lot going on with the coaches' carousel up there and the Jeff Saturday. They came in and got the first victory, but ever since then, they haven't looked like a complete team. I think they've really, at this point, kind of just washed their hands and want to just get healthy and get into the next season and see what next year brings. I like what Houston plays. They playing tough. Like I said, they have been to some close games with some good teams. And, you know, we know the quarterback situation that they have. But they're a team to be on the lookout for next year. And I think they have enough in the tank to get past this Colts team who's just depleted and kind of, you know, giving up at this time due to the fact. So give me Houston, Texas as well to take care of business.
Jets 7-9, eliminated from the playoffs already. They're going to Miami to take on the Dolphins 8-8. This is a Dolphins team that very well could be starting rookie quarterback Skylar Thompson on Sunday. This is because Tua remains in concussion protocol. Bridgewater has a dislocated pinky on his throwing hand, and so they signed Mike Glennon, so it'll be Skylar Thompson, it looks like. And the Dolphins need to win this game, and they need to get a Patriots loss to clinch a playoff berth. And so I do expect the Dolphins, JJ, to find a way to get this win at home with their playmakers on the perimeter, Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle. It has not been a pretty stretch of football for the Miami Dolphins. They're on a losing streak, but they're back at home against a Jets team that are playing spoilers, JJ, and a team that would love to end the Dolphins' season. So this is going to be a tough one. But I'm going to give it to Miami here to keep their playoff hopes alive, 23-20 over the Jets.
Hey, not so fast, my friend. I'm going to go upset. I'm going with the Mean Green Machines up in Big Apple. I think the Jets just match up cornerback-wise, probably one of the best matches up that you'll see with Sauce Gardner and Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and on the other side with DJ Reed as well. I think they do a good job. I think they do a good job of run as well for Miami, which Miami has been mediocre when it comes to running the ball. And like I said, the matchup was outside is going to be evenly matched up, so you don't have a big disadvantage on the outside like the Miami Dolphins is kind of used to. So for that reason, I think the Jets are not going to go out. They came in hot, doing some a lot of great things. It fell off, but I think they're going to end the season on a good note. And I think they got a chance to take care of business against the Miami team. That offense, without Tua on the center, the Miami Dolphins just haven't looked the same. For that reason, I like the New York Jets.
All right, Panthers 6-10 at the Saints 7-9. No playoff implications here, JJ. I like the Saints though to finish out the win. Andy Dalton has played really well, and they have headed in the right direction. Unfortunately, they had a couple of close games. Had they gone their way, especially that game in Tampa, maybe the Saints had a shot at the division. Unfortunately, they don't. Both teams are eliminated, but give me the Saints here.
Yeah, I think the Panthers they do a good job running the ball, doing some things offensively and defensively. They play good games. I didn't expect for them to even get here. They was in a chance to actually win the NFC South, which is hats off to Steve Wilks and what he's done in that small turnaround that he's there. But I think they went up, took care of business. It's a good team in Philadelphia Eagles. And I think they just built a confidence. We always knew that they had the talent on their team on both sides, but we just had to put it together. They can show you can have the team on paper, but if you don't actually play as a team, it's pointless. So I like what the Saints have done over the last few weeks. I think they take care of business this last game against the Panthers.
Browns 7-9 at the Steelers 8-8. Of course, Browns in a very similar situation out of the playoffs. They would love to end the Steelers season with a win on the road, but I got to tell you what, I'm riding with Pittsburgh here. 2017, JJ, Kenny Pickett has turned me into a believer. He is a very dynamic quarterback, a guy that is calm, cool, collected in pressure. And then Najee Harris has really turned it on this last half of the season. You're seeing Pickens come around. Deontay Johnson, the defense is playing better. TJ Watt now is fully healthy. I like Pittsburgh to get after Deshaun Watson, and I think a win here from Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin's crew, they'll keep their playoff chances alive here, but Pittsburgh definitely playing some really good football.
Yeah, I'm not going against the Steelers anymore. They came down to the Atlanta Falcons, took care of business. They haven't looked back since. They've done a good job with Kenny Pickett. He's doing a good job of getting outside the pocket, extending the plays. The receivers are doing a good job. The O-line is doing a good job of moving people up front. Najee Harris is just doing what he's been doing for a while, even back at Alabama. And I'm just glad to see the running game back in business in Pittsburgh. That's what we know Pittsburgh for. It's the running game of the hardcore, playing physical, and that's what their defense is doing as well. TJ Watt is coming off the edge and doing some great things. I think he's getting back into his midseason form since he's been down with that pec injury as well. I like what Mekhi is doing in the back end. Give me Pittsburgh Steelers to go against the Cleveland Browns, which is going to be tough because, like I said, they're conference rivals, and it's always difficult playing those rivals because they know everything about you. But I think Pittsburgh has a lot to play for, also not only with the playoffs, but also the season records of being over 500 with Mike Tomlin. I think that they owe that to him and the respect that he's got in that locker room. I think Pittsburgh has a lot more behind playing than the Cleveland Browns. So give me Pittsburgh.
Dallas Cowboys 12-4 playing for the NFC East and a potential number one seed still alive, as mentioned earlier in the podcast, going to take on the Washington Commanders 7-8-1. Washington is eliminated from playoff contention last weekend. They will be starting a rookie quarterback, Sam Howell, out of North Carolina, who does have some talent, and so I'm intrigued to see how he looks. But Dallas, you know, by all accounts, JJ, the secondary hasn't looked very good, and so this is a game where you can get some of the younger corners, some playing time. Nashawn Wright, I saw an interception against Tennessee last weekend. Get a guy like him some more snaps before the playoffs. In the end, I like the Dallas Cowboys here, 20-16. I don't know how long the starters will play. I do think the plan is to have them start. We'll see, I guess, how the game progresses. They will be playing at the same time as the Eagles and the 49ers, and so I'm sure they'll have some people on the sidelines keeping tabs on what's going on elsewhere. But the Dallas Cowboys, this is a game that they can win, continue to build momentum into the playoffs. Even if they don't get that NFC East or the number one seed, JJ, you know it as a player. It's always important to end the season with the win, with that momentum riding into the postseason. I think they get that job done against a very tough physical Washington team, especially that front seven with Payne and Allen. And so it's going to be a test, especially with Tyler Biadasz. He's out with that high ankle sprain, so they're going to have to shift some of those old linemen around. But Dallas, I think they come out on top here 20-16 in a low scoring game.
Yeah, the Commanders, they were doing a lot of good jobs, man. I didn't necessarily agree with the Carson Wentz pool. I think Tyler Heineken gave them a better chance. Did a better job of giving them an actual chance. Like I say, they're a different team when they play with him underneath center. I don't know if it's camaraderie that he builds in the locker room or what he does, and that defense as well. But I think the Dallas know what they have to do. I think they know what's at stake. They're going to do for all the reasons. They're going to see what kind of depth they have going into the postseason, and for all those reasons, I think they get it done. to take care of business and get ready for the playoffs. Give me Dallas Cowboys.
Ravens 10-6 at the Bengals 11-4. This game could very well decide the division. JJ, the Bengals, though, I like them here in this matchup. Again, another team that had to deal with that DeMar Hamlin situation, and so I know a lot of their players have been rattled. I know DJ Reader, he's a player that has been a little bit outspoken about how he's trying to figure out how he feels about playing on Sunday, but Cincinnati, make no mistake about it, they're led by Joe Burrow, and Zach Taylor showed a tremendous amount of just respect and appreciation for the Bills. And, you know, I've always been a big fan of Zach Taylor. He's a Nebraska Husker, right? So the Bengals, though, JJ, they're on another level right now. They're executing. You saw that even early in that game against Buffalo. They went down the field and scored with ease. You know, this is an offense that is firing on all cylinders. In the Ravens, meanwhile, they don't look like they're going to get Lamar Jackson back before the end of the regular season. And so Tyler Huntley has had his struggles. Greg Roman, the OC there in Baltimore, taking a lot of heat. I like the Bengals here to win this game. They're officially the AFC North champions after a victory. So 27-14, I expect Joe Burrow and company to get the job done.
Yeah, I like what the Bengals doing. My hats is off to the organization, the head coach, and the way those players showed their support for Hamlin and the way they handled that situation on Monday night. A lot of people said, I can say different things, but you don't know until you're actually inside of that and doing it. And the Bengals organization, my hats off to them, the players, the respect, and the more they showed. And for all of those reasons, I think the emotion is going to be high. My prayers is out for Higgins as well. I think he kind of get a look in the sense because I think he was sort of involved with it. We all know, you know, he didn't do anything intentionally or purposely, but my hats and prayers is off to him and his family as well and his way of being. But when it comes to playing football between the lines, those guys, the Bengals right now is red hot. They know what's at stake. I think they're tired of hearing the Kansas City Chiefs, this and that, and they want to go out here and show and prove that they're a team to beat in the AFC. So give that for those reasons. Give me Cincinnati to take care of business.
Chargers 10-6 at the Broncos 4-12. This is a tune-up game for the Chargers. Nothing to play for seeding-wise. They're already into the playoffs, JJ. Broncos been playing tough, though. You know, they're hanging in there, and Russell Wilson, they change play callers. So this could be a trap game for the Chargers here, but Justin Herbert, as long as those starters are out there, JJ, I like LA to get a big win, continue this win streak entering the playoffs. 23-17, give me the Chargers here. I also like how Austin Eckler has been able to really show some production on the ground. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, they're healthy, and Justin Herbert is showcasing what he can do when he's got a supporting cast as talented as those two guys. So the Chargers, I think they take care of business. They get a win here on the road.
Yeah, the Chargers, they're getting healthy at the right time. The defensive front is getting back. I had my defensive MVP finally getting back in its form in Bosa. So, and Khalil Mack on the outside, Derwin James, we know what he can do. And the cornerbacks as well outside is playing some good ball. So the Chargers are getting healthy at the right time. I'm excited to see what they can do in the playoffs. Their offense, we knew the firepower they had. And I like what they're bringing on the table offensively, defensively, and special team as well. So give me the Chargers.
Giants 9-6-1. They're in the playoffs for the first time in I think 6 years, JJ. So you know the Giants fans are fired up. Eagles 13-3. And of course, we still don't know the status on Jalen Hurts. Head coach Nick Sirianni hasn't really been committal about whether he's going to start this weekend. But the Eagles know the stakes, right? They couldn't get the job done the last 2 weeks. Now they have one more chance. With a win, they can clinch the NFC East. They can clinch the number one seed in a playoff bye. And so they're going against a Giants team that, of course, there is bad blood between the Giants and Eagles. They don't like each other, big rivals. But I don't think the Giants will be playing their starters all that much, JJ, just because they've already locked in to that number six seed and they really don't have anything to play for. No need to risk injuries to Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. So I think the Eagles get the job done here finally, 30-16 over the Giants.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is going to be the battle of the depth for here. This is going to show you your second strings, your third strings, who have the better team in the depth. I think overall Philadelphia on paper has the upper hand when it comes to depth and what they're shown because they've been hit by the injury bug as well before. And we all understand that the Giants have two and they just don't look the same when they don't have their starters out there. But I think for all the reasons they have, they claim playoff berth. And I think Philadelphia has just enough to get over the edge when it comes to depth to win this game. So give me Philadelphia.
Cardinals 4-12 at the 49ers, 12-4. You know, the Niners, they win, Eagles lost, they get that number one seed. They already clinched the NFC West, JJ. Cardinals are going to start David Blau again, so this should be a lopsided win for the Niners. And you know, that defense wants to bounce back after their worst performance of the season last week in Las Vegas against Jarrett Stidham, who kind of shredded them apart, which was a little bit uncharacteristic from DeMeco Ryans' unit. JJ, I expect a bounce back performance here. Niners route the Cardinals 30-13.
They're just playing some good ball defensively. I think they've, with Shanahan, I think they've got Brock playing some great football at elite level right now, and I think that's going to be a lot of motivation and momentum going into the playoffs. And I think the Cardinals, we all know kind of the situation they have going on. They got a lot going on up there. But 49ers here to take care of business easily, get ready to get it to make this playoff run. So give me the 49ers.
All right, now moving on, the Rams at the Seahawks. Rams 5-11, Seattle. We talked about their playoff scenarios, JJ. They need a win and a Packers loss to get into the postseason. This game will be at 4:25 p.m. Eastern time. I like Seattle to get the win here, but close, 24-16. Don't discount the Rams and Baker Mayfield, who's been playing some pretty good football ever since arriving in LA. This is a Rams team, again, divisional rivals. They would love to spoil the party, but Seattle at home in front of the 12th man, I think they're able to squeak out a win here. JJ, Kenneth Walker will be pivotal for the Seahawks on the ground, and then of course DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett on the outside making big plays down the field. Give me Seattle by a touchdown.
Yeah, it's going to be a close game. Like I say, the rivals conference, everybody know each other well. They got enough film out there to study each other and do the things that they need to do to get the upper edge on their opponent. But I think Seattle, like I said, they have a little bit more to play for. I think the Rams right now are just trying to make it out healthy and looking to the next season. But Seattle, they have a lot to prove. I think they want to go out there. I think they want to actually get into this playoff, because anything can happen once you get into the playoffs. And I think just because of a little bit motivation that Seattle has and a little bit more playoff things to play at and more at stake, I think Seattle goes and take care of business. Give me Seattle Seahawks.
All right, now the granddaddy of them all, JJ, Sunday Night Football, the Detroit Lions, 8-8 at the Green Bay Packers, 8-8, Sunday, 8:20 p.m. Eastern Time, NBC. The lights will be bright at Lambeau Field, another divisional clash in the NFC North, and this one will determine who gets that final spot in the playoffs. JJ, I did talk about the scenarios. Green Bay, it's simple. Win and they're in. The Lions, meanwhile, they need to knock off the Green Bay Packers on the road, and they have to hope that the Rams can beat the Seahawks, which they will already know that result before they kick things off at Lambeau Field. But JJ, despite all that and despite all the scenarios for the Detroit Lions, and you know what, credit to Dan Campbell for riding the ship. That's been a fun team to watch. And Jared Goff, I talked about him a couple of weeks ago. He has been sensational, and the way he's been able to operate that offense, I mean, he has been a revelation this year, and I have to give a lot of credit where credit is due. That Lions team has really fought and battled through adversity to give themselves an opportunity to get into the playoffs, and so I do need to share some respect for the Detroit Lions. But all things considered, the Green Bay Packers are a very dangerous team right now, JJ. They've won four in a row. They're about to win a fifth on Sunday night. Aaron Rodgers, you do not go against them in big moments. Defensively, they're getting that pass rush going with Preston Smith. And then you're also seeing Jair Alexander, who's starting to make plays on the ball. Rasul Douglas, you're starting to see a team that has gotten hot at the right time, and you do not want to face them in the playoffs. And right now, with their ability to run the ball with A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, and then the emergence of Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson, I like Green Bay to get the job done here, JJ. 27-24. I think the Packers get into the playoffs after what has been a wild season with a ton of turmoil, but I like Green Bay here.
I know I've been on Detroit bandwagon for a lot of these last few weeks, and I think they've shown and stepped up for a lot of different reasons, but Green Bay has came out as a different team moving forward here in this second half of the season. I think they got a mad Aaron Rodgers over there that heard the noise. And he's a guy that don't, you know, when it comes to playoffs and doing different things, man, he's a legend and making things and pulling things off. And the game is actually in limbo, which I think is an advantage to Green Bay. They know how to play in those circumstances. And like I told you, in this late part of the season, it's about the team who runs the ball. So this is going to be a monster because they both got two running backs that play good with Swift and Williams at the Lions, and as well as Dillon and Williams here at Green Bay as well. So the team that takes the ball away and take care of the ball, a team that can go out and run the ball and stop the run, and a team that can get off the field on third down is going to be a team that actually walk away with a victory on this team. And I think for all the reasons that Green Bay have done and shown in the second half of the games, the second half of the season, I think they find a way to get it done against a Detroit team that is going to fight, scratch, and claw. With Dan Campbell at the head coach, I think Green Bay still finds a way to get an edge. Give me Green Bay to take care of business up in Lambeau.
We're both going with the Green Bay Packers here. JJ, should be a fun one to close out Week 18 as we get ready for the postseason. But again, that does it for today's podcast. We appreciate you tuning in. And again, JJ, appreciate you, man, joining the podcast. As always, it's been fun all season giving these picks. And now we're gearing up for the postseason, man. And so things are getting turned up, as they say, and a lot of exciting times here. And so I look forward to being back here next Tuesday, and we'll break down Week 18, and we'll start previewing Round 1 of the playoffs.
Absolutely, man. This is a great part of the season. This is a great part of time to be a part of. We're going to receive some real playoff football, even though it's not playoffs yet. It has a lot of playoff feel, a lot of playoff intentions, and you're going to get the best of each team, no matter their records or their outcome. It's going to be some great football. So I'm excited for this last week of football and then to get into the postseason. So I'm just blessed and fortunate to be on this podcast for this long with you, Ike. I thank you, man, and I think you got that Gold Cowboys poster, man. That was exciting to see. Man, I'm just excited overall. So Happy New Year to everybody. And looking forward to this week of football.
I'm fired up for the poster you sent me, man. It's already hanging up here in my apartment. And you know what I mean? I'm fired up. You know, the Dallas Cowboys, Cowboys Nation. And I appreciate it, man, always. It's all love. And again, before I do close out the podcast, just one more. I want to send more prayers out to Hamlin that he continues to make a great recovery. And encouraging news this morning, but definitely continue to keep him and his family in our prayers.
Absolutely. I'm definitely going to have my ears to the radio, to the TV, my hands still extended with prayers to him and his family. I can't wait to hear the news of him overcoming this and having a testimony to tell us all about it. So my hat and prayers are still to them, extended to them and his family at this time, and the football world as well, and the fans as well. So yes, I keep my ears and my blessings and prayers still extended towards the Hamlin family.
All right, brother, take care, have a blessed rest of the afternoon, and we'll see you right back here next Tuesday.
Hey, absolutely same to you, man. Get well and blessing.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.